Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of veil, where we walk by faith and not by sight into the destiny, the call, and the purpose of God. Walking in purpose and the process of purpose is not always easy, but God will allow us to go through it and produce the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of his character, of his name, and it will bring glory to him when we do it the right way. The process is something that God uses in our everyday life as well as other situations. He will use those things around us, going on with us personally, in our family, on the job, with career changes, in ministry, in every situation to build us, to shape us, to make us, to cause us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And growing in him as he reveals himself to us, and we begin to walk in that, at that revelation of what he revealed to us, that knowledge, that truth, that understanding that he revealed to us. We're changed, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. And that causes us to look more like him. It causes us to demonstrate and display his character, his anointing, his power, his truth in us, that other people will see and know that God is real in us. It is not religion, but it is a true intimate relationship with him that we thrive in, that we look forward to, that we live in. And we see that demonstration every single day because our life is no longer our own. It is a worship unto the Lord. So the process up there is not always an easy one, but it's a necessary one because it gets us where we need to get. It prunes us. It sharpens us. It makes us. It crushes us. It builds us. It fortifies us and pours into us all that we need so that we can be all that God requires us to be for his glory, for his kingdom. God always uses unlikely people. He chooses the people that we ourselves would never choose. He chose us. And we would never choose ourselves, but he chose us, and he chooses us for glory. We've been looking at unlikely place of blessings, and we started this series last year, and we're still continuing in it, and we're going now back to 1 Samuel, looking at David, unlikely place of blessings, where he was in a place where he was not the unlikely chosen for a blessing by God to be the king, but God chose him. And the process of him becoming the king, the things that he endures and how he endures and what he has to face and the character of him that is being sharpened and made as he's being prepared for kingship. So we're here, we're going back to the Goliath fight again. And we have to understand something. As a leader, even as a believer, you have to be willing to go into the fight. You have to be willing to show up for the fight. You've got to be willing to participate in the fight. If you're always running from the fight, never wanting to be in the fight, getting out of it before it ever happens, or when it just starts, quitting, trying to find another way out, then that's the wrong attitude. As a leader, you've got to show up for the fight. Every king that in the Bible that we see, they went out. They joined the fight. They were there. They were the ones that were seen in the front lines. And people need to see that you are able to handle the fight, that you're able to endure the fight. Even the enemy needs to see that you're more than just talk, that what you say, what you believe, what you confess with your mouth, that even when you're challenged in those areas, that you're willing to say, I believe God and his word is true. And because I believe him, I'm standing on his word and I'm going to use my weapons, which are not carnal, to pull down every stronghold that would try to refute the word of God for my life. I'm going to challenge every wicked authority that is trying to say that my righteous authority, my rightful place in God and God's righteous power for my life, his will for my life, that enemy that says it's not going to happen, that God's not going to do it, I'm willing to challenge them because I know God is faithful and he's true, and I know that he will do exactly what I said. He's not a lying God. So whenever you begin to allow the fight in you to arise, and it's a righteous fight,
It is a fight that is based on the will and the word of God, that you know what God's will is, and every unrighteous thing, every unrighteous place where the enemy is trying to say that this is not going to manifest, and every place where he's saying I'm not going to release what God says, you have to be willing to pull down that vain imagination, pull down that stronghold through prayer, through the word of God, even sometimes through prayer and fasting. You've got to be willing to show up for the fight. We see David is not afraid of fighting. He is a warrior, and he knows how to fight, but he's also an awesome worshiper. With leaders, especially pastors and ministers and elders, they have to be willing to have that the ability to go in and intercede and to know how to go into spiritual warfare and to tear down things, but they also have to be worshipers. They can't be sitting on the sideline watching worship. They have to be a worshiper themselves, as every believer is supposed to be. We are to worship the one true God and do it in spirit and in truth, in holiness, knowing that the sacrifice that we give is acceptable unto God. So we're allowing God to really wash us and purify us in the spirit of God, that we're not just showing up in the presence of God any kind of way, giving him any kind of worship. But just like the priest did when they went into the temple, they made sure they were consecrated and sanctified. They made sure they didn't go in unworthily, because to go in unworthily, especially when they were going into the holies of holies, meant that they might fall dead in the presence of a holy God. Well, today, God is not killing us, but he's saying, I don't have to accept your sacrifice. I don't have to be pleased with what you're giving me, because I'm looking at your heart. So what we do is we make sure that our lives, that there's no sin separating us, that we're in the right state of mind, that we make everything conform to the will of God, and we bless God with everything in us. So David is a worshiper, and he knows how to go in and worship, but he's also a warrior, and he's not afraid to show up for the fight. And that's what we have to have. It's too many of us Christians believing that they're not supposed to war in the spirit, that they're not supposed to travail, that they're not supposed to stand in the gap, that they're not supposed to even have to deal with spiritual warfare. And the enemy is taking that which belongs to you, because he knows that you are not using the authority or releasing the authority of God in your life. God has given you power. He's put it in you. And that power that he's put inside of you, that you, when you speak your faith, the authority of who he is shows up, and it commands things to change. It's not a timid prayer that you're giving, but it's a prayer of power. And that doesn't mean being loud, but it's a place, a posture in the spirit that you are sure of who you are and whose you are. You know that you're God. You belong to him. He's given you power and authority. There are benefits and blessings because you're his. So whenever you use his name, heaven backs you. That whenever you use his name, his will, his power, his authority is there. And so that fight must be in you. That there must be a place in your life that says, I will battle for that which belongs to me, that has been given to me, and I will not allow the enemy to steal, kill, or destroy anything that is mine, anything that God promised. I'm going to do it. David was willing to show up for a fight that was actually a nation fight. And he was the only one that was willing to do it. Every other man was running and cowering and hiding. Even the king, who was Saul at the time, who stood taller than any of the other men, was running and hiding from Goliath. So David took on the braveness, the boldness, like the Lion of Judah. He took on that posture in the spirit realm of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll go out and fight, because I've already seen God in my life helping me defeat a lion and a bear. He helped me kill what tried to take what was mine, my father's. And I was protecting that which belonged to my father's house. And so David qualified himself, because he was willing to even put his life at risk to protect his father's sheep so that his father's house could prosper. So he was in the process even there of being trained how to fight and how to war. And we see in the Bible that as we study David's life, that he was a great warrior, that he killed many men, and to the place that whenever he got ready to even build God a temple, the Lord would not allow him to build it, but his son Solomon, because he was a man of war. that he had done so much battling and bloodshed that God says, okay, I want you to allow your son to do it. But David still wanted to be a part of it, so he set up the things that needed to be built for the temple, be put in the temple, or what the temple needed to be built, erected with. He got the vast all over. He went and got vast different types of quality, priceless things so it could go into God's temple. And that's because his heart was a worshiper, and he wanted God to be glorified by his people, not just him. He was not looking for this for himself. He was looking to do this so that the people of God will be blessed. And that's one thing you have to understand. As a leader, it's not about you. When God is qualifying you, this is not about your praise or you being comfortable or any of these things. It's about saving and helping others. It's about other people being blessed, coming to know Jesus Christ, living a life that is pleasing to him, and you're the vessel that God is using to lead them. So you're always pointing them to God and to the provisions of God and the word of God and what God wills for them. You're always pointing them so that they can have that relationship and build that confidence in a God that they're seeing in you first before they see for themselves. They have to have something to follow. And as they follow you, as you follow Christ, you're steadily pointing them to God, letting them see him so that they can build that relationship. David was that type of leader. He was not afraid of the battle, and he was not afraid of the taunts of the enemy. He gave the enemy back the word, and he let them know, I'm coming to you. You're coming to me one way, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, and he's going to give me your head today. And that's what you have to understand. In the middle of the fight, you cannot be afraid of what the giant that towers over you and his words. You cannot even be afraid of the response. Anytime God begins to say that he's going to use you, that he's going to bless you, that he's going to allow this to come in your life, expect that word of life. Expect what you're hoping for, what you believe God for, what God has said, to be challenged by a circumstance or a situation or the enemy. But that is the time that you've got to say within yourself, I know what God says, and I'm going to believe his word. I'm going to decree his word. I'm going to find every scripture that I can find about my situation. I'm going to decree it and declare it, and I'm going to war in the spirit and command some things to be. I'm going to command the enemy to be backed up, to be bound, to be chained, and I'm going to command the loosing of God's spirit, his power, his will in my life. And see, when you begin to war in the spirit, you understand that your words are powerful, and they're commanding things in atmospheres, not just in the earth, not just around you, but in atmospheres to change for the glory of God. And when David understands who he is, there is a humbleness about him in his movement. And as a leader, as a believer, you must be humbled. You cannot be prideful and puffed up. You cannot want them to call out your name and shout out your name and just do all these things. It must be a character that looks like Christ, because every gift that we have are servant gifts. We serve God and we serve his people. So it must be the heart of a servant. And as you serve, God will exalt you. God will get the glory out of you, and he will give you what you have need of and do it. And it will be for his praise still, because even when he blesses you, you'll still be saying, the Lord did it. All glory, honor, and praise belongs to God. So we understand that. So when we see this, that David does this, Saul does what he says. He rewards David. He gives him what he says. He does what he says. But within Saul, there begins an unrest, because he sees something in David that he no longer possesses himself. You have to be very, very careful that when God begins to use you and build you and promote you, and even your giftings and talents are used for the glory of God, that the enemy, you're not intimidated by the enemy that will try to kill you, so to speak, with their words, actions, or deeds, because God is using you. Know that you have been called to be a warrior. Know that you've been called to be to triumphant. Know that you'll be called even to be a worshiper and a true worshiper, that you give God your best, because God is preparing you for something greater. I wish I had more time to go into this study this week, but we don't. So we'll be back next week, as the Lord will, to give you more insight, give you more empowerment and strength, and let you be encouraged in your walk of faith, knowing that you are a conqueror and you're going somewhere, and the leadership that God is preparing you for, even though you didn't look for it, you didn't ask for it, God has given it to you because you're being blessed in an unlikely place. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there. Have a blessed, wonderful worship experience.